Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we just thank you for your love and your grace for us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this church. We just invite you here today. Just ask you to be part of the service and enjoy our worship to you, Lord. Just thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, ever since Easter, going over Jesus' crucifixion, the whole story there, Matthew didn't write about anything about the thieves. I mean, he said they were there and gave Christ a hard time like everybody else did. But I read, okay, now I got to remember where it was. Hello. Acts. No, it wasn't. Why didn't I get this? I didn't write it down. It seemed like it was a real easy opening that I was going to kind of enjoy to do. But I think one of them got pulled out. Anyhow, I want to start out with John 3:16. It's like one of the best, I mean, well-known scripture. But it kind of changed a little bit after Easter time. Anyhow, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's that part. That whoever believes in him should not perish, have everlasting life. And I realized that there's a couple of different versions, one in Matthew and one in Luke, of Christ going to the cross. Well, my favorite part, or kind of, is when the thief asked Jesus to remember him. Let me read that. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other one, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation?" All three of them are under the same condemnation. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." You realize that guy never did go to church? He never read a Bible? I doubt. It doesn't say that, but he was a thief. And being punished for his deeds. It just, all he did was believed. He just believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I bet that thief might have been, "What's all this hubbub going on?" when Jesus was coming into town. Maybe he knew something about him, a little bit about him. But the other thief, he was just like the other thief. Except for the other thief, thought he couldn't be forgiven. He's done too much bad. And I think about that, and I think, you know, we've got missionary work right here over our back fence. You know, our neighbors, our family, are just right around here. There are so many people that have that same attitude that I've done. I can't be forgiven. I'm a bad person. And there's hope for all who have sinned. There's forgiveness for all who have sinned. And, Jesus died for that. God loved us that much. And Jesus loved us that much. You can only imagine the suffering that he went through. You know, so we have the the two different thieves with the two different attitudes there. I mean, in Matthew, it just said they were both, you know, cursing at the Lord. Didn't say anything else about them. But Luke's got more of the story, and I think that is a very important part of that of the salvation story. All we have to do is believe. We don't have to wear anything. We don't have to say, you know, I mean, we got to say something, but so simple a child can understand it. So it reminds me of the story about that prisoner, the guard. He thought that everybody escaped. And I don't know what would happen to him. I don't know what they did to, you know, because he was sleeping, so he was probably going to get in trouble. And so he was going to kill himself. He was going to fall on his sword, do whatever he was going to do. And he must have been saying something because Paul or all those guys could hear him saying something, and they told him, yelled out with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself. We're still here." They were free, standing in the jail. They didn't go anywhere. And it prompted that guard to, it says, "Do not do yourself no harm. We are all here." Then he called out for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know what they, it's so simple. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your whole household. And you know, it seems awfully, I don't know, it seems too easy because we've all grown up from childhood hearing about the stories and reading the Bible and studying about Jesus that I feel like I just automatically believe. But so I don't know that I really voice it that I believe, but I know that I, when I think about Jesus, that's what he did. It's pure and simple. It can't be contested. It's amazing that it is, but there's always those people, I guess. I mean, I think the world's round, but some other people might think something else. So I guess we're all just that way. Anyhow, and they were in Romans 11, 9. I don't know what the beginning of it is, but the verse here is that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I don't see what else there is there, but we need to tell others about that because we've lived a different life, maybe, than what other people have lived and haven't heard that and don't realize how simple it is. And all sin is, we live under grace. It's forgivable. I mean, just looking at the thief on the cross. I mean, there's two examples, and one of them's in heaven right now. We're going to be able to talk to him. It's amazing. Anyhow, let's pray for the worship team, and let's praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We just ask you to be with the worship team, and just lead them and guide them, Lord. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless word, no one could express how much you deserve. The one we can pour. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all say that I'm thankful, pour out my heart. to say that I'm thankful. Pour out my heart to say that you're sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Cannot tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this grateful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death. Even death on the cross, you took all my shame away, their defeat in my sins. Open up the gates of heaven and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words cannot tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this grateful heart.
Come here and worship you today. I pray that you would have your hand on every aspect of the service today, and just bless everybody who came through those doors, and be with everybody as we leave here today and go about our lives. I pray that you would help us to spread your light in any way that we can. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. It's good to be here again this morning. I don't know about you, but I don't think the wind has been blowing that much, really, but I was kind of getting tired of it the last couple of days. But it is spring, and that's what it does in Pasco in the spring, is it blows a lot. Acts chapter 19. We're going to finish the chapter this morning. Acts chapter 19. We're going to start with verse 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And about that time there arose a great commotion about the way. for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go in to the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. Father, we thank you again for your word, and I pray that as we look into it this morning, you would open our ears to hear. I pray that you would guide us and help us to be able to take something from this morning and apply it to our lives. In your name we pray, amen. So Paul is still sharing the gospel. This is very, very consistent throughout all of his missionary journeys that he is on. So he has been teaching. We talked last week about some miracles that had happened that God had used to bring people to him, whether through fear or whether through awe or whether through curiosity or whatever the situation might have been. He used some of these miracles to bring a lot of people to know who he was. So Paul now is telling a little bit of what he feels like he's supposed to do. And it says that Paul purposed in the Spirit. Now, we talked about listening to the Holy Spirit last week. We talked about that a little bit. We've been talking about that quite a bit through Paul's journey, and this is the second time that it mentions listening or purposed in the Spirit to do something. I really feel like Paul is hearing from the Lord in what he should do and where he should go. I want to read Romans 15, which he goes when he writes Romans, he talks about again what's going on just a little bit here. Romans 15, 22 through 29, and it says this, "For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my own, to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors, for if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel." Paul is been given something monetarily to take to some people in Jerusalem, which is one of the reasons, not the only reason he's going there. The Lord is leading him there, but it just sheds a little bit more light maybe on why he's going to Jerusalem. But then he also proceeds to say that I'm supposed to go to Rome after that. I know Paul's goal was to go to Rome, and Paul's goal, he wanted to share the gospel with as many people as he possibly could, including leaders and governors and whoever would listen. Those high in authority, he wanted to make it to Rome to share the gospel with those people as well. Even though in all these other places that he's been going that we've been talking about, he's been persecuted along the way, he's been thrown out, and he really didn't care. He was going to keep sharing the gospel, which I think is important that we continue to do that as well. So he sent some of his companions on, Timothy and Erastus, but Paul himself stayed in Asia for a time. Now, it talks about a great commotion about the way that happened. Basically, there was a riot that was happening. Why was there a riot? And we're going to get into that in just a second. But 2 Corinthians, first I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't know what all happened in here in Ephesus in Asia when Paul was there, but there was a lot of things that happened. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 11 kind of explains a little bit more. And here Paul says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." I don't know what all happened to Paul while he was back here at Ephesus, but there was a riot that was going on. And you know, Paul, it sounds like in 2 Corinthians there that Paul and his companions have reached a point where they don't know if they're going to make it. They think maybe they're not going to make it out of this city. They think maybe they're going to be killed because of things that are going on. And I got to thinking about that. And I don't, in the way that we live, in the time that we live in, we are so blessed. We have everything that we need. And a lot of times we have everything that we want as well. And I don't know if I have ever been to the point in life where God is the only thing that is left. You see, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about not knowing if there is a way out for them in the life, in this life. Not knowing if there's any way, anything they can do. See, what we're used to doing is we're used to being in control of our life. And maybe things don't go exactly the way that we think they should, but we still can control it to a certain extent. What happens if we get to a point in our life that we have no control? What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Are we going to learn to rely fully on God? Because the life that we live right now, I really honestly could say that we don't have to fully rely on God. And that sounds terrible to say, but look at your life. I look at my life, and there are a lot of times that I am not relying fully on God. What happens if we get to the point? We don't know what's happening or what's going to happen with our world, with our country, and things that are, it seems like it's getting worse by the hour. What if we get to a point where the only thing that we have left is God? Is that going to be enough? Things are so far out of our control, which, by the way, they are, because every breath that we take is given to us by God, yet we take these things for granted, and we don't rely on who we need to rely on. And I don't like to think about what it might be like if we have our living life and the only thing left, that everything is so far out of control that we have to only trust God. I would like to think that, yes, I could do that without question. And the reality of it The reality of it is that I don't know that for sure. I would like to say and think that I could do that, but until we're actually faced with that, we don't know how we're going to respond. But can we live life in a way to learn to trust in God, even in little things? Especially in little things, I think that's where it starts. Because if we can't trust God with little things, we're never going to trust Him with big things. What are the things that we tend to not trust God for? If things are going well, we feel like we have everything under control. Paul is teaching and he's preaching and he's been getting kicked out and he's been getting stoned and he's been put in jail. All these things that are happening to him. But you know what? He is relying on God. His trust is completely and fully in God. Is he still human? Absolutely, he's still human. But he has learned to trust in God. Are we learning to trust in God? Do we reach points in our life that the only thing we can do is to trust God? And that's enough. That is enough. He is enough. He, God, is sufficient. He really is all that we need. We tend to start thinking that, well, there's a lot of other things that I need. Except for maybe those are things that I want. This wasn't for Paul. This riot that is happening wasn't a new thing. So what is going on is Demetrius, who is a silversmith. The great goddess Diana was the god of the Ephesians, and her temple was there, and these silversmiths are making idols or and whatever things that you might imagine that they would sell, and they were doing very, very well for themselves. This was a profitable business because anybody that came to Ephesus knew who the goddess Diana was, I'm guessing, and they would have bought these idols or whatever things they would have made out of silver or whatever they were making things out of, and it was a very profitable business, and they are listening to what's going on. They're listening to the message that Paul, they've heard of the message of Paul. And Paul wasn't speaking against them necessarily. Paul was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which would be against this goddess Diana. And they didn't like it. They did not like it. But you know, for Paul, this is nothing new. This isn't anything new. The riot, it says they grabbed some of his traveling companions and they rushed to this theater. And the theater I was reading about just a little bit may have held somewhere 24, 25,000 people. And about all Paul could do, he wanted to go and join them there. Well, that wasn't probably the greatest idea as far as his safety. And people were encouraging him not to go. Even Asian leaders, it said, were encouraging him not to go. But this was nothing new for Paul. If you go back to, in talking about, I got to find it because I don't look at this one very often, but talking about knowing that God is all that we need, I was looking back to Lamentations, and I haven't been in that one for a while, but Jeremiah is thought to have written Lamentations, and he is, I don't know if complaining is the right word, maybe it is, probably, he's lamenting, thus the name Lamentations. But Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 22 through 26. And he's been complaining and he's been lamenting and asking, what is going on? Why are we doing this? And here's what he comes to. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. You know, when things go wrong or don't go the way we think in our life, and all of a sudden we find ourselves relying on God a little bit more, maybe. That's where our hope is. Our hope isn't in this life. Our hope is in Christ. And if we can live life knowing every single day, every single minute of every day that our hope is in Christ and it's not in this world here. I feel bad for people that are going through things in their life that don't have that hope. But the fact of the matter is, we do have that hope. And we can share it with those people. Because here in Acts, this is what Paul is doing, is he's sharing of the hope that he has in Jesus. Everywhere he goes, everybody he talks to, whether there's opposition or not, he's sharing of that hope. Where are we in sharing our hope with people? We meet people all the time. Do we use those opportunities to share that hope that we have? Because that hope is what gets us through this life. Because our hope is not in this life. It's in Him. So this is a very successful business practice that is going on in Ephesus. And they are becoming very concerned because they realize that Paul and his traveling companions are sharing the gospel. And it was threatening their business plan. Now, Paul wasn't speaking, again, directly against them, but they could see what was going on. They're not dumb. They've been in business long enough that they can see something that's happening. And Paul is preaching that idols, they're not alive. Psalm chapter 115. Let's go there for a little bit. 1 through 8. Psalm 115, 1 through 8. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. And the God that we serve has ears and he has a nose and he has come here and lived with us personally. He lives inside of us personally and he can hear when we ask and he can tell when something's wrong and he loves us and he wants that relationship with us. And so when Paul is sharing the gospel and these silversmiths are struggling because their profit is going to dwindle because they know that these are idols that they're making. And they can't speak, and they can't hear, and they can't walk, and they can't do anything because they are not alive. And the God that we serve is alive and well, and he's in heaven, and that's what we're looking forward to someday. So people are gathering, and you go back to Acts chapter 19. So Demetrius and his partners are trying to rile people up. They're trying to create a riot, which is what's happening. So it says people started gathering. And they're shouting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus Macedonians, Paul's traveling companions. So Paul wanted to go into this theater, wouldn't let him. What is going on here? It says a little bit farther down, "Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together." Does this sound familiar? You know what a riot is? You get about three people that know what's going on, and everybody else is just there because everybody else is there. You know what a protest is? Hopefully, a protest done the right way is everybody knows why they're there. Don't protest or riot. It's because everybody else is doing it. Ever hear of the term jumping on the bandwagon? Just because everybody else is on it doesn't mean you should jump on it too. But this is what's happening here. This is exactly what's happening in a lot of situations today. Is people see a group of people and they want to be a part of something. And so they run over there to be a part of it, and it starts gathering people and gathering people, and pretty soon they start talking to one another. Maybe somebody come in and does an interview to ask why they're there. So what are you here for today? I don't really know. Which sounds ridiculously stupid, but that's the case of what was going on. That's what was happening right here, is most of them, they didn't know. One of them shouted one thing, one of them shouted another thing, and there's all kinds of confusion going on. All because of what? Demetrius and his few people that are afraid that their profitable business is about to tank. And so they're stirring up all these people. They have no idea why they're there, except that that's where everybody else was. And you tell me that people aren't attracted to people. I would say that probably they are, because if there's a group of people and you just go join it for just because there's people there, it's not because you know why you're there. How many times have we seen this happen? Here's another question. How often have we been involved in something like this? You know, if there's times where different protests or you stand up against something, and I think I'm all for that. I think that's a very positive thing. But let me just tell you, if you are going to do something like, you make blame well sure that you know what it is that you're protesting. If you're going to stand up for something, you make sure you know what it is that you're standing up for. Because we can all of a sudden find ourselves standing up for the wrong thing if we don't pay attention to what's going on. So the disciples told Paul, no, you're not going in there. That'd be dangerous. Even some of the officials of Asia who were his friends, who were Paul's friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. So then what happens? They pull out. So everybody's confused. They're not sure why they're here. Finally, Alexander is sent forward. Alexander is not one of Paul's companions. He's just a Jew that was there. They put him forward, and he's going to share their defense. Well, the problem was they found out he was a Jew. And at this point, whether Jew or Christian, it didn't really matter. They didn't like either one. Either one to Demetrius and his co-workers, both of them were a threat. And so they didn't even want to listen to what Alexander, I don't know how he got put up there. But he did, and they didn't want to listen to him either. They didn't want to hear that defense. They didn't want to hear what was going on. So what do they do? It says they found out he was a Jew, all with one voice, cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." That would get old pretty fast. For 2 hours. So then what's going on? The clerk, it says, or maybe it's the mayor of the city, says, "Hold on. What are you doing? What are we doing? Why is everybody hollering and yelling and making a big uproar?" Again, Paul and his companions weren't speaking directly against the goddess of Diana. They weren't trying to cause an argument. They weren't trying to cause a disagreement. They were sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which would disagree with that, but that's what they were sharing. They weren't going directly to Demetrius. They weren't going directly to the people that were worshiping this goddess. They were just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the gospel do the work. We don't have to go try to confront somebody about it. We don't have to try to defend it. We don't have to try to do any of that. We can allow the gospel to do the work, because we can share. And we can share something with someone, but you know, it's really the Holy Spirit that does the work. If we're willing to be a vessel to be used, the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to do the work. It isn't anything that we do. It's nothing that we do. In fact, if we could just get ourselves out of the way and do what we were told to do, and then not sit and watch for the results, because it might make us look good. Just get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do the work. So the clerk or the mayor is quieting the crowd. He's trying to talk some sense into him. You see, what other thing that's happening is the city is also under the control of Rome. And if they make too big of an uproar, Rome is going to notice this, and they're going to come in and they're going to make life not very easy for these people. And so the mayor or the clerk says, hold on. If you have a problem with somebody, bring it to the court. The courts are in session. There's a proconsul that could help you settle this. But if you have a problem, don't go get a big old group of people who have no idea why they're there. Bring it to the court. Bring it to the proconsul. Let's handle this the right way. It says specifically, therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar. For there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And he's trying to quiet the people. He's kind of watching out for his own neck too, because if Rome has to come in and try to quiet this thing down, he very likely loses his job. But he's able to get the people settled down and get them to thinking, they had no reason to bring Rome down on us. So as we, what are we supposed to learn from this? One of the things that I had said before is, if you're going to stand out for something, make sure you know what it's for. If you're going to join a crowd in protesting against something, make sure you know what you're protesting. Because just because there's a whole bunch of people there does not necessarily make it right. Be aware, be aware, be aware. The other thing is from today is learning to trust God more. Or just learning to trust God. Maybe that's where we start. We always can more. But maybe that's where we start. We're going to end with Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And what I look at that is I look at Demetrius and his co-workers, and there was a better way that they could have handled that. There's always a better way that we can handle it. And I just think that if they are silversmiths and they are very good at what they do, they probably could start making something else. Maybe they could work together to figure out a solution. Don't cause a riot. Don't gather a whole group of people when you really don't know what's going on. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for these examples that are here. And Lord, it really seems like there's a lot of the same stuff going on today. And obviously, we haven't completely learned from what these examples that have been given. Lord, I pray that as we go about our week, Lord, that we can trust you in everything. Trust you in the little things. Trust you in the big things. Lord, just to be able to trust you fully. And Father, I pray also that you would help us to be aware. Help us to be diligent in knowing what it is that we stand for. What we're willing to stand up for. What we're willing to fight for. Thank you, Father, again for loving us. I pray again that you would give us opportunities this week during our days to share your love with people. Lord, it's about sharing your word and sharing your love, and that's what we're here to do. And I pray that you would bless our week, bless us each as we go from here. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be dismissed.